You're listening to Packers Talk Network. PackersTalk.com.
Let's talk in Pack.
Well, I have no idea what was said or what happened at halftime, but I know one thing for sure. The Green Bay Packers woke the hell up. And that team we saw in the second half, that version of the Packers, they sure looked pretty damn special. And with that, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Lemps Talk and Pack. I'm your host, Chris Lempesis, coming to you once again from my basement Packer room in my home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, here to break down Green Bay's, no seriously, who saw that coming, 35-25 win over our old pal Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday night at Acrisure Stadium in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, a game played before the nation on NBC's Sunday Night Football. But I mean, for real, right? Did you expect that second half effort from the Pack? Because I'll admit it, I didn't. They looked so flat and lifeless in the first half, and it was everyone too, you know? Christ, the offense. Half their possessions ended in three and outs. No rhythm, bad drops, didn't feel like there was much of a plan. Are there any good drops, Lamps? No, they're all bad. But I mean, it didn't feel like there was much of a plan. Matt LaFleur was just kind of throwing shit at the wall, it seemed like. Just kind of hoping something would stick. The play calling was just bad, you know? Defensively, they weren't terrible, but they did allow points on four of Pittsburgh's five possessions. There were lapses in coverage, penalties at bad times. Okay, I'm just talking about Kayshon Nixon so far here, who, I mean, damn. But even outside of him, the run defense was struggling. Pass rush, not terribly consistent. Just wasn't great. Anytime you give up 16 points and a half, that's a problem. And then the special teams. Oh, Brandon McManus missing two field goals, which, okay, the first one, being short on a 57-yarder outdoors, isn't so bad. But then when you combine it with his missed 44-yarder right at the end of the half, then it becomes a real problem. You're sitting there going, should this guy have even played tonight? Maybe they should have sat him again and had Lucas Haversick kick again and you know, just let McManus continue to get healthy. So again, yeah, every area struggling down 16-7 at the intermission just felt like it might be one of those incredibly frustrating nights for the Pack. Nothing goes right, and it just kind of ends in a loss. Judging from everyone's reactions on all the various social media sites, sure didn't seem like I was alone in thinking that. And then came the second half, where, holy shit, this team played like a squad on a mission, a group with something to prove. I mean, just really, right? Just something to prove. That's how they played. I mean, whoa. The energy was there. You noticed that right away. The discipline was there. The complimentary football. If you thought the Packers had forgotten how to play complimentary football, well, there it was, my friends. It's back, baby. We are back. Welcome back to my life, complimentary football. Everyone, offense, defense, special teams, all handing the baton back and forth for the first time in a long time. That, folks, looked like a championship football team in those final 30 minutes. And, of course, much more on that as we move along here tonight. Oh, yeah, it may be late as hell or early as hell. Is it late or early? I don't know. Either way, I'm not going to tell you what time it is. But either way, it's something. But, yeah, I can tell you I am so excited to talk about this game on this show tonight. With the win, and what a fun win that ended up being, eh? The Packers improved to 5-1-1 on the season now, still good enough for first place in the NFC North standings. They remain ahead of the second place Detroit Lions, the 5-2 Lions, who are on their bye this week. The third-place Chicago Bears saw their four-game winning streak come to an end in Baltimore, where they lost to the Ravens on Sunday, 30-16. They're now 4-3 on the season. Yeah, 4-3 for the Bears. And the Minnesota Vikings, more laughter, remain in last place at 3-4 after being blown out by the Los Angeles Chargers, 37-10 in LA on Thursday night. And not that it matters a ton at this point, but the Pack are still the top seed in the NFC as a whole as well right now. That one's just fun to say, right? Oh yeah, it's just fun to say. Right now, we are the number one team in the NFC. Green Bay and the Colts are the only two one-loss teams in the NFL right now also. Before we get into the fun, and how could you not be having fun already, folks? We just saw the freaking Packers win in Pittsburgh for the first time in nearly 50 years. They hadn't won there since December of 1970. So for a whole lot of us, we just saw something we'd never seen before tonight. And if that doesn't fire you up, what does? I have to do the shameless self-promotion, which I know you love, or at the very least tolerate, real simple. It's LempsTalkinPack.com. That's my website, right? LempsTalkinPack.com. No G Lemps? Nope. No G necessary because I'm already here in my goddamn basement at whatever time it is at night in the morning carrying the G. So go to the site, LempsTalkinPack.com. Bookmark the site. Love the site. There you'll find all the various social media channels I'm on. Give me a follow one place or another. The email address. Drop me a line. I'd love to hear from you. And all the places you can find this show, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, all that crap. It's all there. And remember, first, subscribe. Whatever platform you choose, make sure you're subscribing first and foremost. Then, once you've subscribed, leave a rating and or comment on whatever platform you're using too. It all helps with that damn algorithm. It all helps us get better placement. It helps more people find Packers Talk. They go, Packers Talk? I don't know what this is. I'll check them out. They're recommended for me now. Oh, they got 5 shows and they're all great and they're all free. I'm going to tell everybody I know. And then we become huge. That's how that works, at least, I think. I don't know. It's very late. or very early. So yeah, subscribe and keep the ratings and comments coming. It all helps. You can also find the Venmo and PayPal information there on my website. So if you'd like to send me a little something, help me get some good beer to drink while I record, that would be great. Huh? Maybe? Possibly? What do you say? Received a very nice donation since you last heard from me from a Mr. David S. Sir, thank you so much for that. You rock. A big tip of the cap to you. David S., he's awesome, you guys. He really is. I can attest to that. Be more like David S., I say. And remember, if you donate, I'll say your name here in this space and tell everyone how cool you are. Doesn't that sound awesome? I sure think so. So you know what I mean? Then you can play it for your friends. And if your friends are like, oh, I don't know, dude, like you're being kind of a dick. You go, no. See, Lem says I'm cool. So then you have actual proof, evidence that you are cool. So keep those donations. Strap in. It might be a wild ride here on the show tonight. So keep those donations coming. And again, it doesn't have to be a lot, you know. You got an extra $5, $10. Hey, that works for me. When you think of all the content you're getting here for a whole season, I mean, even $10 one time, you come out way ahead in that deal. If you think about it, like 1 2-hour movie is like, what, $15 now? $17, $18? I'm giving you 2 hours of content per week. Pretty good deal, right? I sure think so. And before we go any further, I want to let you all know that my show, our show, this one you're listening to right now, as well as all the shows on Packers Talk, sponsored once again by Wisconsin's own Ticket King. For over 30 years, Ticket King has been providing Packers tickets to Packer fans, as well as Bucks, Brewers, and Summerfest tickets. You can find them on the web at theticketking.com or visit their locations in Green Bay right near Lambeau Field and right here in downtown Milwaukee, baby. Remember to support local Wisconsin businesses. Again, I'm not even going to say the names of any other ticket sites because they're meaningless. Don't worry about them. You want tickets? you go to theticketking.com. Again, theticketking.com. I assure you, they will take good care of you. We love you, Ticket King. Let me just close that up here. There we go. All right, now that we done got all that out the way, let's go. Let's dive right in. Hey, wait a second. Did someone say beer? Oh, yeah. Beer me, baby. Victory brew. Oh, yeah. That's good stuff. I got another can of Sam Adams Oktoberfest. I bought a good amount of it at the store the other day. So, yeah, that's going to be what I'm... this is going to be what I'll be drinking on the show here for a little while, I think. Yeah, Sam Adams Oktoberfest, right? It's classic, especially this time of year. You got to drink it. 5.3% alcohol by volume. The orange can is just, again, it's just everything about it. It's just top-notch. Top-notch. And again, this beer I'm drinking tonight is paid for by listeners like you. So thanks, everyone. Cheers. Okay. Now let's go. Now let's dive right in. No more stalling. No more bullshitting, lamps. Let's dive right in here and talk about this Packers dub. Well, this one sure started out terribly, but then got awesome dub. That's why you say it that way, right? You start quiet, and then you get real loud. You go, dub. Because honestly, that kind of describes Green Bay's performance in this one, right? Took them a half to get revved up, but once they got revved up, holy shit. I already talked about the first half struggles near the top of the show, so now it's time for the fun part. The part where they kicked ass. And that's where I want to put the focus here tonight for this main part of the pod on the second half performance from this Packers team. Offensively, I mean, wow. It was a mind-blowing performance in that second half. After only coming away with points on one of six first half possessions, the Packers scored on five of their six possessions in the second half, 28 points in all. And really, it was kind of five for five, because the last one, if you really think about it, you know, they weren't trying to score anyway. They were just trying to run out the clock. So do you even really count that last possession? I say not really. So I'm going to say they were five for five, essentially, offensively in the second half. First, I want to credit LaFleur here, because God knows. Right? Lombardi knows. I rip him mercilessly when his play calling stinks. So I have to give him his props here. He was awesome in the second half as a play caller. Felt like he really figured some stuff out, and he really made the proper adjustments at halftime. I mean, he had his finger on the pulse of this Packers offense in the second half. The play calls were on point. He really got the offense into a rhythm, which that's important for any offense, right? But it seems especially important for this group. And there were some really creative play designs in there, too. Love the play call on 4th and 1 at the Steelers 18 on Green Bay's first drive of the third quarter, for example. The play action that had everyone going to the left, and then Tucker Kraft just pops out into the right flat for the catch and the first down. Love going for it there, too. Because you just, you know, simply put, you just could not trust Brandon McManus at that point in the game, even if it was just a short field goal. Just, you know, you couldn't trust him. Which LaFleur basically said as much, right? Coming out of the break, if you heard his interview before the start of the second half with Melissa Stark, he basically said, like, we got to get touchdowns, you know, in the second half when talking about McManus' struggles in the first half. So I loved that Matt LaFleur went for it there. That was a great decision. And as you know, I'm of the more conservative nature in such spots on the show. But I think even I would have gone for it there. I just think you had to at that point in the game. And then the touchdown pass to Savion Williams a couple plays later. Loved how he had three guys out there to form a wall, essentially, for the rookie after he came in motion and caught the swing pass from Jordan Love. That was a key sequence. You know, really felt like the Packers had to get into the end zone there. And LaFleur nailed it. Hopefully he can find his rhythm as a play caller after tonight, because as we know, he's been up and down with that so far this season. But maybe he's figured some stuff out now. Let's hope. That would go a long way towards not just the offense, but this team as a whole finding that consistency. Of course, it helps to have Love and Kraft play the way they did Sunday night, especially again in that second half. Those two were, whatever word you want to use, incredible, brilliant, outstanding, amazing. Geez, I honestly don't even know who to talk about first here. Because they were both so outstanding in this one. Let me take a drink and think about it. What do you think, Sam Adams? You know what? What the hell? It's National Tight Ends Day, right? So let's start with Kraft. 7 catches, 143 yards, 2 scores for the game. I mean, just out of this world. Shorter stuff, intermediate throws, didn't matter. Didn't matter where he was lined up. Once Kraft had the ball in his hands, he was absolutely wrecking, destroying Pittsburgh shit. At one point in the fourth quarter, in case you missed it, NBC said he had 131 yards after the catch Sunday night. The most yak by a tight end since 2018. That is not a short while ago, my friends. I'm not sure what he finished with. It was probably somewhere right around there. But either way, that is just so damn impressive. And when you're talking Kraft and yak on Sunday night, we have to talk about his work on, again, Green Bay's first drive of the second half, the one I just talked about a minute ago. 3rd and 5 at the Green Bay 15. Love under heavy pressure. Floats one up to Kraft, who hauls it in, breaks off a 59-yard run. Maybe a bit of a push-off from Kraft, but hey, whatever. Not called. And he does outstanding work after the catch, fighting the defender off as he's running down the field. Great pass from Love under heavy pressure, too. That one, that's on the all-time, that'll end up on the all-time Tucker Kraft highlight reel. For however long he plays, that play you saw tonight, that will be on his highlight reel. I can almost guarantee it. Hell, it might, you could make a case it could be for Love, too. I mean, again, great pass from him there and a key spot. Kraft, 5 catches for 94 yards and a score in the second half alone. So yeah, he was definitely one of the guys leading the way as this team woke up, as this Packers team got revved up over the final two quarters. And Love, I mean, I think this says it all, right? Love completed 20 straight passes at one point in this game. 20 passes. And if that wasn't enough, I want you to listen to this. I found this tweet after the game. It's popped up on my feed. This is from Next Gen Stats on Twitter, at Next Gen Stats, the official account of NFL Next Gen Stats. Jordan Love completed 20 straight completions during the game with a 0.1% chance of completing all 20 passes based on the difficulty of each pass. That, take a minute, if you want to replay that, rewind and listen to me say that again. That 0.1% chance of completing all those passes. You know, and the tweet also says he completed 13 of 17 against man coverage for 232 yards and 3 touchdowns, the most yards versus man coverage in a game this season. So that's just, I mean, that's just one, you know, kind of, that just really illuminates how great Jordan Love was in this game. Just an incredible effort from him, you know. All night long, really, as he finished 29 of 37 for 360 yards, 9.7 yards per attempt. Wow. 3 touchdowns, and again, no picks. Love that last stat. That's so huge. It continues to be, you know, Jordan Love continues to be very smart with the football this season. That's so huge for him and this team. The 20 straight completions, the most by a Packers quarterback since Brett Favre in 07, per the NBC broadcast, in case you missed that one. And I got one more for you. It might be later, early as hell, but I got one more for you. This is from Henry Gold. He is a University of Wisconsin alum / NFL research at Henry is Gold on Twitter. Jordan Love just had his 16th career start with multiple passing touchdowns and 0 interceptions. The only player in NFL history with more such games in their first 40 career starts is Patrick Mahomes with 19. So that tells you, again, that there's a little, that tells you not just about Love tonight, but where he's at this point in his career, you know. He was in, but back to tonight, he was in complete control of this game, really throughout, but especially in that second half. In the second half alone, 16 of 19, 214 yards, 2 tutties. I mean, he knew exactly where to go with the ball damn near every time over those final two quarters, and it was beautiful to see. His confidence was through the roof. you could really tell, or at least I could. I don't think I'm alone on that. I feel like we could all, you could, yeah, I think anybody watching could tell his confidence was just through the roof in that second half. And I'm closer than ever to saying he's elite. Okay, he's right there. I can't quite say it yet, but he's closer than ever. He's closer than ever after tonight, and if he keeps this up, I'll be saying it very soon, and I'm very excited about that. He's right on the cusp. He's right on the verge of it. It's going to happen. I can't quite say it yet, but he's almost there. I saw someone say online after the game, the student is now the master, as far as the Rodgers-Love matchup went. And based on what we saw Sunday night, yeah, I'd have to agree. That we can say. He, of course, outplayed Rodgers in a big way and is now clearly the better QB of the two. I don't think anyone would dispute that. And while the Packers' offense was lighting up the scoreboard, in the second half, the defense was finding its footing. The Packers held Pittsburgh to just 6 first downs and 117 yards of total offense in the second half, most of which came on the Steelers' late touchdown drive, which was essentially in garbage time. Green Bay's defense saw improvements in every area over the final 2 quarters, the final 30 minutes. The tackling was better. The coverage was tighter. Didn't I tell you on the pod last week, on the Tuesday night show, I think it was, that I trusted Carrington Valentine to cover DK Metcalf? I said that. And he did a pretty damn good job of that Sunday night. He needs to be on the field a lot. Carrington Valentine, the dastardly Carrington Valentine, is a big-time player. He needs to be on the field as much as possible for this Packers defense. You know, the run defense was much better. And the pass rush was greatly improved in the second half. After sacking Rodgers just once, with that also being the lone QB hit in the first half, the Packers got much better and more consistent pressure in the second half, sacking him twice and hitting him 4 times. And again, those aren't necessarily eye-popping numbers, but it was more than just those 2 specific statistics. The pressure just felt overall more constant, I think, in the second half. He seemed much more uncomfortable in that second half, didn't he? I sure think so. Rashawn Gary with another strong performance, with 2 of Green Bay's 3 sacks on the night, 1 in the first half, 1 in the second half. He continues to have a very strong season. The other sack came from Micah Parsons, and what was one of the highlights of the evening, Parsons getting past not 1, no, not 2, but 3 Steelers blockers before bringing Rodgers down. He got past 3 guys. The tight end, the left tackle, and then I think it was the left guard. 3 guys. And then he almost had another sack on the very next play. 2. That guy, he's just a complete freak in the best way. Unreal. Another great night for Micah Parsons. And I want to mention Edgerrin Cooper, too. I thought he had a really nice game Sunday night. Nice work to force that turnover in the fourth quarter. That really, in particular, that really helped ice the game for Green Bay. Nice stuff from Edgerrin Cooper tonight. And then it was nice to see McManus bounce back slightly in the second half by making 2 short field goals towards the end of the game. And since I criticize the special teams so often for committing penalties, how nice was it to see them draw a personal foul call on Pittsburgh on Nick Herbig that gave the offense an extra 15 yards? That gave the Packers great starting field position, and they'd eventually cash in on Kraft's 2nd touchdown of the night. Man, what a play call from LaFleur there, too. That made it 29-19 Packers with 10:57 to play after the PAT. Hey, at this point, any positive contributions from the special teams, I'm mentioning it. Anything good, shit, I'll take it. The complimentary football we saw from the Green Bay Packers in the second half Sunday night was exactly what we see from championship-level teams every season. No one group or one position was carrying the team. No one player or 2 players, but rather, it was everyone. We hadn't seen that from the Packers since really early in the season, but it roared back with a vengeance against Pittsburgh, and as a result, Green Bay completely overwhelmed the home team on its way to a fairly comfortable victory. Hopefully, this is the start of the Packers taking things up a notch this season, because we know this team has the talent to be great. If they can find that consistency for 60 minutes each week, well, they just might be truly special. Okay, so those are my main thoughts on this one. Let's open all the bags now, the various bags that make up the one bag, I should say, and get a sampling of what you all had to say after this one. Again, just a sampling, just a taste. So if I don't get to you tonight, well, don't worry, I will on Tuesday night for the mailbag pod. Okay, so let's see. I got 5 emails, 6, 7, 9, 10, 12. So that's 12 questions and comments so far. So let's script it. Let's stick to the script here. Jesus, Sam Adams, got me getting my words all mixed up. So let's stick to the script here and take 3 tonight, right? That's what we usually do on the Sunday night show. Let's keep that tradition going. And again, you have until Tuesday night to send something in. As long as it's in by Tuesday night, I'll read it on the next episode. Don't worry. All right, so we're going to do one tweet, one email, and one from Blue Sky. Let's start with the email. Hold on here. It's from Sean, my buddy Sean Kemp. Sean writes, Lemps. Okay, so it took a half for our offense to find themselves. Too many important drops in first half, but welcome back, Watson. Tucker Kraft is a beast that should win Offensive Player of the Week. Although it would be cool for Rodgers to have beaten every NFL team, I'm glad he lost. Go Pack, go, Sean. All right, well, good stuff, Sean. Yeah, Rodgers would have joined the club. What was the club? It's Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, and Brett Favre, I think, are the only 4 quarterbacks to have beaten all 32 NFL, to have defeated all 32 NFL teams. Rodgers would have been the 5th member in that club. He will not be the 5th member in that club. So, yeah, I'm glad he lost in the sense, yeah, I didn't want Rodgers to join that club. I'm glad that it's cool that he's defeated 31 of 32. I like that. The 32nd team being the Green Bay Packers. I like that. Let's have that be what it is for Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, I thought Rodgers, you know, I thought he looked okay in the first half. I did not think he played very well in that. I mean, that was indicative of the entire Steelers team, really. But I thought Rodgers really kind of looked his age in that second half. As far as his mobility, I mean, I don't even know how many times Tirico talked about his improved mobility. I thought his mobility looked worse as the game went on. He looked his age in that second half. I would be surprised if Aaron Rodgers plays another season after this. And I kind of think this needs to be it for him. He needs to ride into the sunset after this, however the season ends. That's just my opinion. But yeah, so let's say Rodgers beats 31 of 32 teams. I like that. That has a better ring to it for me. The drops in the first half were bad. Dobbs had one, at least one. Kraft had the one. The one Kraft drop was as bad as you'll see. That was really bad. But he really, I mean, obviously he rebounded in a big way in that second half. So as you thought he would. Yeah, and you know what? Welcome back, Watson. You're right. I haven't even talked about Christian Watson yet. But yeah, 4 catches for 85 yards for Watson in his first game back after tearing his ACL in the regular season finale last year at Lambeau against the Bears. Yeah, it did not look at all like a guy who was shaking any rust off. He hit the ground running on Sunday night, which was awesome to see. He's such a huge part of this offense. Like, he really is, you know? And that's a big thing I'm hoping. When I talked about LaFleur hopefully finding his rhythm as a play caller after tonight, I think having Watson back will go a long way towards that. His presence just changes everything because he's, you know, he's so big and strong and fast, and he's such a dynamic playmaker. Like, he just opens things up for everybody else, and I think it really kind of unlocks what LaFleur can do as a play caller. So I'm hoping Watson being back will really help this offense and help LaFleur in particular get back into a rhythm and be more consistently, you know, strong. And Tucker Kraft, yeah, he should be Offensive Player of the Week. I would be surprised if anybody else was. I didn't look at all the box scores from all the other NFC teams, but it's hard to think of anybody who changed the game as much as Kraft did today. I mean, he was awesome, you know. And one thing I love that they're doing, I talked about this online too, after his first touchdown. I love that, like, when they get to, like, the opponent's 20, like, as soon as they get in the red zone, like, say the opponent's 20 to, like, 10-yard line, It feels like LaFleur has really kind of figured out, like, hey, let's just get the ball to Tucker Kraft in the flat and let him just wreck shit on his way to the end zone. That seems to work pretty well for us. So let's just keep doing that. I hope that that becomes part of this offense's identity, because he's so good. When he gets near the end zone, he can just smell it. He's like Jacobs. Jacobs is the same way. They just take it up a notch and they become wrecking balls, Kraft in particular. So I'm hoping that LaFleur sticks with that. But yeah, he was awesome, you know. Again, short stuff, intermediate stuff, didn't matter. Down distance, where he was lined up, like, he was just making plays. He's just special. And how much do you love, by the way, that he name-dropped the movie The Program after the game? I was like, of course, Tucker Kraft. He referenced it when Melissa Stark asked him about him headbutting, was it Sean Ryan? And Kraft didn't have a helmet on, and Ryan did. She goes, you headbutted when your teammates weren't wearing a helmet. And he said, he mentioned The Program. And I was like, of course Tucker Kraft is a fan of the movie The Program. Of course he is. That's a cult classic. I mean, it's just, I'm not saying it in a bad way. It's just like, of course Tucker Kraft loves that movie. I love that movie too. So yeah, just great stuff from him. Hold on. Why is my phone? What is happening here? There we go. So yeah. Yeah, good stuff, Sean. Nice to hear from you. Okay, so that is that. That's Sean. Let's go to Twitter now. Let's rerun from Justin A. Cornwell. At Justin A. Cornwell, longtime friend of the show, longtime listener, going back to the Podbean days again. As always, shout out to anybody who was listening when I was on Podbean only, which was the first season of the show back in 2018. Justin writes, that floater on third down that Kraft caught turned the game. From that point on, the Packers pretty much dominated in all aspects. That second half was what we've been waiting a month and a half for. Yeah, good stuff, Justin. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That floater, there were two plays on that drive that I thought turned the game, and they both involved Tucker Kraft. That first one, the floater to Kraft, which I've talked about already, that he ripped off the 59-yard gain. And then also, let me pull this up here, if I can just pull this up, this box score. It was that, and then it was later on in that drive, the fourth down. Those two plays to Kraft, I thought, changed the entire complexion of the game. Because if they don't get that fourth down, they go for it on fourth and one at the Pittsburgh 17. If they don't get that, yeah, they force the three and out defensively to start the half. They have the nice drive. But if they come away with no points, I don't know how much momentum they would have had. So the first big play to Kraft got it going. The fourth and one after that, it was like, oh, I was like, they're gonna reach the end zone on this drive. I could just smell it. And then I think those two plays really turned the game, both involving Tucker Kraft and Jordan Love. And you're right, from that point on, because then they end up scoring on that drive. And then at that point, it was like, all right, we're back. And then it was just full fucking throttle. They just blew past Pittsburgh in that second half. It was incredible. But you're right, that second half, that's what we've been waiting for. You're right, we've been waiting for that really since Washington in week two. It's been a long time. You're right, we've been waiting about a month and a half, a long time for a half like that. That was their best half in a long time, maybe their best half of the season. It's up there, anyways, as far as their best halves of the season. So hopefully they can build on this and take this with them going forward, because that team that we saw in the second half can beat anybody, and probably would beat anybody. That team we saw in the first half, it's like I said to my wife after the game, I go, this team that we saw in the second half, Super Bowl champs, the team we saw in the first half, that's, you know, maybe they make the playoffs, and if they do, they're probably one and done. So, again, the Jekyll and Hyde nature of this Packers team, we saw it again tonight, but hopefully they can build on this going forward and like I said earlier, kind of kick it up a notch now, because I think it's that time of the season. We're reaching, you know, right about the midway point of the season. Now it's time to start locking in and taking everybody locking in and taking their game up another level. So hopefully that happens. So thank you, Justin. Nice to hear from you. Okay, we have one more. It's from Blue Sky. From Adrian at Adrian Suarez, who designed the wonderful Packers Talk. No, I see Packers Talk. He designed the Lemps Talk and Pack logo that everybody loves so much, that I love. Adrian, again, crushed it. Did way... For whatever I was hoping he would do, he exceeded it times 1,000. I love that. I still love that logo so much. So thank you, as always, for that, Adrian. I owe you. Adrian writes, besides putting my dog's Packers bow tie on, what was the second half elixir? Matt LaFleur seemed to unleash love, and the play calling was much more fluid. Well, I'm glad that you put your dog's bow tie on, and that maybe played a part in it. So keep the dog's bow tie. Keep that on going forward now. Don't take that off when the game is on. The dog has to wear the bow tie now, whether it wants to or not. For these Packers games, anyways. I don't know what the second half elixir was. It's a great question. Like, I opened the show with it, Adrian. Like, I don't know what the hell happened at halftime, because that team looked dead. You know, McManus missed that 44-yarder at the end of the first half, and I was like, I said online, I go, just a perfect ending to a dog shit half of football across the board. I don't know what changed. I don't know what LaFleur said or what they figured out. I mean, I think Pittsburgh kind of gets knocked, I know, defensively for not deviating too much from what they do. So I think LaFleur maybe figured some stuff out at halftime that they could exploit in the second half if Pittsburgh were to kind of give them the same looks, which it kind of felt like they did. So I felt like LaFleur kind of knew where to go with it this time as far as the play calls and situations, which was great. I think that was a big part of it. I just think he got his finger on the pulse of the game. I think he did unleash love. I think you're certainly right about that. It felt like he was more content to just say, all right, Jordan, you know, go do the damn thing. And love did, you know, he really did. So hopefully his trust in love, because it doesn't feel sometimes like he totally trusts Jordan Love still, right? It felt like he did in that second half, and love showed that he was right to have that faith in him. Play calling was much more fluid. I think that's true. Yeah, again, I don't know any other way to say it, really. I feel like he got his finger on the pulse of this game and what this team could do and what they needed to do, and found the play calls to match those situations and those moments. And I think, again, having Watson back is just huge. It's just so fucking huge for this team having Christian Watson back. Hopefully he can stay on the field the rest of the way, because he's a true game changer. So, all right. Hope that answered your question, Adrian. And again, you got to keep the dog's bow tie on now for every Packers game. You can't, no matter what the circumstances, you can't take that bow tie off for when the Packers play. Got to do your part. All right. Okay. So again, it's incredibly late or early. I hope Justin, Sean, Adrian, I hope I didn't ramble too much there. And for everybody listening, I hope I didn't either. So again, there's just a small sampling of what you all had to say after this one. Tune in Tuesday night to hear the rest. That's when you'll hear from me next. Okay, well, I don't know why I always say that. Because it won't be Tuesday night. That's when I'll be recording it. It'll be Wednesday morning or early Wednesday afternoon by the time you hear it. There we go. So keep your eyes and your ears open for that one. And yes, I'll keep you posted. Again, those have been really fun shows all season long, the Tuesday Night Mailbag Pod. So if you haven't checked any of those out yet, hey, just saying, maybe you tune in this week. Give it a shot. I have a feeling you're going to like what you hear. So until next time, whenever that may be, I am Chris Lempesis. This right here has been Lemp's Talkin' Pack. Thank you so very much for listening, Packer Nation. I love you. I love you. I love you. Please stay safe out there in this crazy world. And remember, always and forever, go Pack. Go.